Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and I'm here to show why kinky sexual wellness deserves a rightful spot within the wellness conversation. Don't forget to join me each Monday as I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, and welcome back. So as we know, sometimes when we are exploring ourselves through kinky wellness, it can bring up very triggering moments for us. Sometimes we are reminded of past nightmares that our brain has long buried. Now, typically being triggered refers to experiencing a very strong, often negative, emotional, and even physical reaction in response to a particular stimulus, such as a word, a phrase, an image, action, behavior, or situation. And this reaction is often linked to past traumas, anxieties, or deeply held beliefs. Now, before we get into this, I want to remind you that being triggered isn't something that is just reserved for kinky wellness. We can get triggered by a coworker, by an event, by a family member, by traffic even, right? Like think about how many people you know who have road rage, and maybe you even have a little bit of road rage yourself that you need to work on, right? But anyways, my point here is being triggered is something that can happen to us at any point and at any time. It's not normally something that you plan on having. Unless, of course, you are someone who is actively seeking out conflict. I don't really know a lot of people who wake up and say, yes, today I want to be triggered. I think for the majority of us, we don't want to be triggered at all because it's just not a fun state to be in. But nevertheless, I don't think you can make it through life without being triggered at least once. And when you find yourself in a situation where you have been triggered, you may end up responding or reacting with a certain type of trauma response. Because since most of the time our triggers are connected to past traumas. Now, the most well-known responses are the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses, which we will get to in a minute. However, I was looking at the Williamsburg Therapy Group, and they published an article that also included two more responses, which are fine and faint. And PTSDUK.org also includes a trauma response called flop, but there's still more to this. Additional trauma responses are hyperarousal or hypoarousal. Hyperarousal is when someone gets into a state of high alertness, which can be characterized by having an increased heart rate. This person is going to be hypervigilant of their surroundings and the people around them, and they often have a very difficult time relaxing and sleeping. Hypoarousal is the state in which someone goes numb or disconnects from their emotions or surroundings. This is someone who will disassociate and will often withdraw from social interactions altogether. So really, when we're faced with traumas or if we're in a situation that brings us back to a place of past traumas, there are a number of different ways that we can respond or react to it. And more often than not, it's not always going to be the same. Different events cause different triggers and responses and so on and so forth. And even depending on our personality, our current support network, or even what type of coping mechanisms we already have for ourselves, all of these things are going to influence how we react to certain things. But for the purpose of today, I'm going to be covering the fight, flight, freeze, fawn, fine, faint, and flop responses. So starting with the fight response, this is probably the most well-known response next to flight. And this is when someone experiences a perceived threat, and this can be physical or psychological, to which their body starts to prepare them to confront the threat aggressively. So this can show itself through physical violence, angry verbal outbursts, narcissistic and explosive behaviors, or even if someone tries to excessively control the situation. Our fight response is linked with our sympathetic nervous system. So it's naturally built within us when we had to, you know, defend ourselves from the animals that were trying to eat us. But now we don't have those type of threats, but that doesn't mean that the natural responses that we have built within us left us too. And To give more details into this, I'm going to be referring to a PDF that I found online that was posted by Dr. Janina Scarlett. And Dr. Janina Scarlett is a licensed clinical psychologist and an award-winning author. And this PDF does a really good job of breaking down key points about the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses. So in regards to fight, there is an unconscious belief that power and control can create safety, protect us from abandonment, and secure love. The ingrained defense survival pattern is to pursue power and control. And the childhood contributing factors could be that that person was raised as a spoiled child, or that child didn't have sufficient limits, or that child was allowed to mimic their narcissistic parent. The predominant emotions that you're going to experience or see with someone in this response is pretty much going to boil down to anger, aggression, or irritability. Now, if you are someone who responds like this, it might be a good idea to do something like go for a walk when you feel that energy start to bubble up, because you need to release that pent up, or at least that building up energy, before it explodes on someone else. The next response is the flight response. The flight response is also naturally connected to our sympathetic nervous system. It happens when someone has a perceived threat or danger and they do anything they can to avoid or escape the situation altogether. So this can show up in running away, straight up avoidance, or maybe they're in denial or distracting themselves so they can mentally escape. And referring back to the PDF that Dr. Janina posted, someone who has the flight response has an unconscious belief that perfection and achievement will make them safe and lovable again. And the ingrained defense survival pattern is to escape into thought and action. The childhood contributing factors could be that that person had to be hyperactive and aware and responding to family traumas, moods, and fight. And the approach to connection is to withdraw by excessively focusing on their personal development. Someone who engages in the flight response often is consumed with worry, anxiety over what they do, and what type of output they put out, and can end up actually being a workaholic. The next response is the freeze response. And this is when someone becomes immobile or gets this feeling of being paralyzed, as if they can't do anything in the moment, and can be characterized by having a feeling of complete numbness, overwhelm, or maybe disconnecting from their body, making it difficult to do anything. If this happens to you and you disconnect from your body, try doing small movements to get the feeling back into your body, like doing yoga or going for a walk. The goal here is to focus on your body so you're able to sink back into it. Referring back to the PDF, the freeze response comes from an unconscious belief that people are synonymous to danger. And the ingrained defense survival pattern here is to avoid human contact and retreat into isolation. Furthermore, the childhood contributing factors for this one is that the person may have been the scapegoat in the family. Maybe they were abandoned. Or maybe they were in a situation where they were not allowed to employ the fight, flight, or fawn responses. Characteristics for this one are sleeping a lot, daydreaming, or losing yourself within social media and scrolling endlessly online. The next response is the fawn response. The fawn response is when someone becomes self-sacrificing and aims to please the person or situation that is harmful in order to avoid or even minimize conflict and harm. So this could happen to someone who was raised with a very explosive parent, or maybe they're around people who can't keep their cool and they find themselves maybe walking around on eggshells. So what they end up doing is they disregard their own wants and needs to make sure that person is constantly happy so they don't have to deal with their negativity and abuse. This person finds it very hard to stand up for themselves, and the unconscious belief for the fawn response is that the price of admission to any relationship is to forfeit all needs, rights, preferences, and boundaries. The ingrained defense survival mechanism is to be a people pleaser, and the childhood contributing factors could be that that person was a child of a narcissistic parent who had to learn very early on that they could only receive love by being a complacent servant to their parent. And the approach to connection is to merge with the other person. Also, in regards to this PDF that I'm referencing, I highly encourage you to check it out for yourself because there's a lot more information on it than I just mentioned. And of course, I've put the link in the description, which will take you to Dr. Janina's Facebook page, which is where she posted this. The next response is the fine response. And this is when someone is in self-denial of their trauma. According to the Williamsburg Therapy Group, this occurs when someone does not want to believe that they have actually been traumatized and that they can handle whatever threat or action that has been befallen them. And in a sexual context, this can certainly happen, right? Someone does something to you within a scene that wasn't discussed or wasn't okayed, and instead of realizing what really happened to you, you kind of just turn around and you're like, no, it's okay, I'm fine, and you kind of just pretend like nothing happened and moved on. But as confirmed by the Williamsburg Therapy Group, people who say that they are, quote, fine when they aren't are obviously causing more harm to themselves than they realize. But we know this, right? This goes back to not suppressing our thoughts and feelings and not minimizing negative things that have happened to us. And this also means taking accountability when we need to stand up for ourselves and acting accordingly when we can. The next response is the faint response. And the faint response is exactly what it sounds like. This is when someone passes out. And the term for fainting after trauma is called vasovagal syncope. And this happens because essentially the part of your brain responsible for regulating your heart rate gives up, and then your heart rate just like plummets, causing you to faint. The last response I have for today is the flop response. And according to the PTSDUK.org, the flop response is similar to the freeze response, but I also think it's similar to the faint response as well, because characteristics of this include total bodily collapse, which includes blacking out or loss of consciousness. It includes loss of control over bodily functions, appearing disengaged, showing lack of emotion, having total disorientation, or even going into complete submission. Now, in order to get out of all of these states, you're going to have to reconnect with your body and mind. So some ideas that will help you is engaging in deep breathing, learning grounding techniques, and leaning on your support system. And if you don't have a support system, then seek counsel or therapy. And if you want to learn something right now, I know that YouTube has a lot of free resources out there from many licensed professionals that will go more into detail for each of these states and how you can help yourself. But of course, you can also engage in meditation, physical movement, spending time in nature, or doing some self-soothing activities like taking a warm bath or listening to calming music. The main idea here is that you need to get yourself back into the feeling of safety and security. Of course, when it comes to any type of healing, make sure that you're gentle on yourself and you give yourself a lot of compassion. Sometimes getting out of these states take longer than expected, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're in these states to begin with, which of course just makes it harder. So again, if you do feel like something's wrong or any of these points spoke to you, just make sure that you take the necessary steps to help you gain back control of your nervous system. Healing can be hard, but you don't have to do it alone. So make sure that you reach out or seek some online help. But that's all I have for today on exploring the spectrum of trauma responses. And I hope you gained some knowledge out of this because personally, this was a very informative topic to research. And even getting the information for this podcast has helped me too. I used to think that I was part of the fight category. And that was like the only category I was in because I'm very vocal and I'm very like stand up for myself and all this jazz. But now I see that I am a combination of all of these things. I've experienced a lot of these characteristics actually. So yes, it's very helpful to know which state you're in and able to get yourself out of it. Also, if you are listening from Southern Ontario, this is your last and final reminder to join the intimacy workshop that I will be co-hosting with Ray Sheraveski and Serena Haynes this Sunday, March 24th in Toronto. That will be going on from 1 to 5. My workshop, of course, is going to be focusing on kinky intimacy, which will be highlighting the basic foundations of kinky wellness. Serena's workshop will focus on partners exploring tactile connection and slow movements through touch and mindful presence. And Ray's workshop is all about exploring our bodies and our partner's bodies through visual perception, self-reflection, and open dialogue. Please make sure to wear loose clothing as you will need access to your legs and arms. And again, tickets are $85 before tax and include admission for two and three workshops. I think that's a phenomenal deal. So make sure you get your tickets before it's too late. Tickets can be bought using the link in the description, which will lead you to our Eventbrite page. And again, if you have any questions, shoot me a message through Instagram at thepartition_life, and I will be happy to answer any. As for Monday, we will be joined by pleasure positive intimacy coach, physician's associate, sexual health educator, and speaker and founder of the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast, Jordan Deniel, to talk about the basics of what a menstrual cycle really entails. Jordan is going to cover topics such as what is a normal versus non-normal flow, what activities are best for each phase, and how there is a such thing called fake period blood, right? That sounds pretty crazy. But anyways, stay tuned for that. But I hope you have a fabulous rest of your weekend, guys, and I will speak with you next Monday. You guys know what to do. As always, stay kinky.